Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the White House. I'm Valerie Jarrett. I'm on behalf of the President. I'd like to welcome everyone to what is our last task force meeting to monitor and combat trafficking of persons. And to all of those of you who are tuning in online, we appreciate your presence. Obviously, those of us around this table are committed to this issue, but we need your help in order to be successful. And since it is our last meeting, I want to take this opportunity to just thank everyone for years of hard work on what we know is an issue that's very important to the President, as I know it is to all of you. The group that's at this table represents a comprehensive effort to combat trafficking, and the announcements that you will hear in the course of the morning have come in answering the President's call to strengthen our effort and expand our partnership and bring more resources together to end trafficking and protect the victims, and to do it in a comprehensive and strategic way, which is why we've assembled together as a task force over the years. So before we hear from you, I'm honored to announce the latest exciting challenge from the Partnership for Freedom Initiative, a public-private partnership that President Obama announced back in 2012, dedicated to spurring innovative ways to fight human trafficking. In previous years, the Partnership for Freedom has successfully run two challenges. The first, to support innovation in victim services, including a partnership that increased shelter availability and the first ever medical clinic dedicated solely to trafficking victims. And the second, to mobilize the tech community to fight labor trafficking in global supply chains. Today, the Partnership for Freedom launches its third challenge, Pathways to Freedom, to call on communities to shift local practices, policies, and perceptions towards trafficking survivors. Survivors have often told us that escaping their trafficking situation is only the beginning of their struggle to rebuild their lives. And we know there's more we all need to do to support them. Pathways to Freedom is yet another way we are working to bolster assistance to survivors. As we work to institutionalize a strong framework to carry through to the next administration, I want to underscore the challenges ahead and make sure that we continue to build on all the incredible progress that we've made over the last several years. I look forward to hearing from each of you on how your agencies will meet this challenge and to know how committed we are to ensuring that until the President's last day in office and beyond, we commit to ensure that we do everything we can to end modern slavery. And so with that, I will turn it over to Secretary Kerry.
Well, thank you, Valerie. Thank you very, very much. And my apologies to all for being a moment late. But let me second what Valerie said with respect to the efforts of everybody. This is our last meeting, as she mentioned. And I have to say that over the 4 years of this effort, I'm personally really grateful for and impressed by the extraordinary distance we have traveled here. This all of government effort has really been very, very significant. Everybody here has contributed significantly in their agencies. And I think this administration can be extraordinarily proud of what we have done to raise the profile of this challenge and to have an impact on countries all around the world. So I hope everybody feels positive about that, because I think we ought to. Human trafficking is one of the few issues that we face, all of us, on a day-to-day basis in governing, where there's no, unlike a lot of other issues that are clouded by nuance or a kind of complexity, this is not complex except in the execution of the things we know we have to achieve. And it certainly is no nuance whatsoever. There's a moral clarity here that's as firm as you could have on any kind of issue. And needless to say, the notion of modern day slavery is one that touches everybody's conscience. And it is one of just fundamental basic human decency. So I think that there are daily threats that are unfathomable that some people live with in some part of the world. Whether it's a pregnant woman who had a miscarriage on a factory floor and then was forced, this is outside of Bangkok, and she was forced to keep peeling shrimp for the next 4 days. Or a fishing crew in Eastern Europe that was coerced into working up to 22 hours a day, knee-deep in freezing water. Or young women and girls who fled their homes as refugees only to be victimized by large sex trafficking rings elsewhere. Stories like these are common. They're the everyday stories, unfortunately, and the moral urgency of addressing this issue is what has spurred everybody around this table and a lot of people who aren't here today to action. But I want to be clear, this is not simply a question of right versus wrong. It's in our strategic interest as well to ensure that this fight is a priority of our foreign policy. And the fact is that human trafficking is a multi-billion dollar criminal enterprise. It's assault on human rights and it's a threat to global stability. It undermines the rule of law, it breeds corruption, it spreads disease, it widens the gap between the haves and the have-nots, and it tears whole families apart. So it's counter to every single thing that we are trying to accomplish in the field of development and everything that we would like to see in our communities and in communities elsewhere in the world as we try to live up to the 2030 development goals. So we all have an interest in succeeding in winning this battle and in making sure that the perpetrators of these crimes are brought to justice. So I think that this administration, as I said earlier, has done an exceptional job of creating the urgency around this issue that it deserves. President Obama issued a critical executive order to ensure that no federal contract contributes in any way to human trafficking. It's why in this year's TIP report, the State Department is calling on every government in every region to develop a better understanding of the needs of at-risk populations and to adopt strategies to reduce their vulnerability and keep them safe. And I will comment that today, what we learned last year is that if we engage with countries 2 or 3 months out, we can have a major impact on getting them to kick in to meet what we see as becoming a challenge in the reports. And today, I urged everybody to begin that process with the next administration promptly in January and February so that we double our effort to get ahead of that curve. We're gearing up now to implement the recommendations of the Advisory Council's first annual report, which called for improved outreach on prevention and victim identification. And last month at our Ocean Conference, the State Department committed to invest more time and money than ever before in fighting forced labor in rogue elements of the worldwide fishing industry. So the bottom line is we've been making steady progress to drawing attention to the crime of trafficking. We're mobilizing resources unprecedented to fight it. And obviously, I hope everybody here will make sure that we'll make the efforts necessary to make further gains and build on the past successes. So I hope today we're not just going to take stock, but we're going to push harder across the board, that we keep the momentum going and ensure that this critical work leaves the next administration with the best starting point that anybody's ever had. And I'm absolutely confident that that's going to be the case. So thank you. And with that, I think we turn now to Susan Coppedge to give us a update on the work of the Senior Policy Operating Group.
Thank you, Secretary Kerry. It's a real honor to be here today. And as someone who frequently engages with foreign governments on human trafficking, I know that our own government's efforts, including at the interagency level represented by everyone here today, they have a direct impact on the global fight to end modern slavery. Foreign countries look to the United States for new ideas and leadership, and the collaborative and innovative work of the Senior Policy Operating Group is vital to our continued leadership. I'll briefly highlight some of the achievements this year. The Procurement and Supply Chains Committee drafted new guidance to manage and mitigate risk of human trafficking in federal contracts. The Grant-Making Committee updated the Senior Policy Operating Group's review procedure to increase information sharing between agencies on anti-trafficking grants and programs. And the Public Awareness and Outreach Committee organized a robust outreach campaign strategy that will roll out in January. I'm also pleased to see today that members of the Advisory Council are here. More than anyone else, survivors are uniquely capable of informing the full range of our prosecution, protection, and prevention efforts. And that's why we are excited to see that the Advisory Council published its first report last week, which offers recommendations to various federal agencies on how to better implement our anti-trafficking policies. But the Advisory Council members don't just offer recommendations, they inspire hope. As they remain engaged in this fight and positive about their futures, then we must make every effort to match their optimism and energy by working across government to protect all survivors and to prevent this crime from happening in the first place. I'm proud of what the Senior Policy Operating Group and the Advisory Council have accomplished this year. And I'm optimistic that strong collaboration on the critical issue of human trafficking will continue into the next administration. Thank you. Roy, I think we're going to you.
So thank you, Susan. And I think it's my job to introduce the members of the Advisory Council, but specifically Harold D'Souza, if he would please stand for a second. So Harold is representing the Advisory Council, and would the other members just stand if you're present? So we have four of the 11 here, and what this is a representation of survivors and giving voice to survivors in this important work. It's great that all of us get together and talk about this, but the people whose lives have been impacted the most need to have a voice. And so just last year they came together, and just last week they released a report that talked about the importance of survivors on training, on grant making, having survivors also talk about making sure that everyone has comprehensive services. And just to highlight Mr. D'Souza's story, Mr. D'Souza came here from India expecting to have a job in manufacturing, ending up being forced into working at a restaurant, he and his wife, for 19 months until he escaped. And instead of then escaping and just moving on with his life, he has become a lifelong advocate for other survivors, including his current work with the Advisory Council. So I'd just like to say a huge thank you to you, those who are not here, for the amazing work that all of you have done this past year and the report that you released. So thank you so much. Back to you.
Thank you, Roy. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure now to introduce everybody to the 2016 recipients of the Presidential Award for Extraordinary Efforts to Combat Trafficking in Persons. And I think Susan's going to read the individual citations, but let me just say that, first of all, we have Daniel Becker, Courtney McCrimmon, and Beatrice Greeson, who are representing Students Opposing Slavery, SOS. It's a student-led network committed to empowering young leaders' awareness how to stop trafficking. Started in 2012 by high school students, pioneering an innovative movement, and it's terrific. And then secondly, Dr. Christopher White and the defense, representing the DARPA, Defense Advanced Research. And they came up with a innovative way of tracking this, and I'll let the citation speak for itself.
I think we're going to go up to the podium, okay. Secretary, and
great.
Allow them to come up and be recognized. And for Students Opposing Slavery, for sustained leadership and efforts to inform, inspire, and empower the next generation by raising awareness and building a network of students across the United States and around the world dedicated to ending modern slavery. Thank you for your efforts.
Thank you.
And for Dr. Christopher White and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, for unparalleled leadership and dedication. We'll get the medal, yep. For unparalleled leadership and dedication in developing new and powerful technologies to enhance the capacity of U.S. law enforcement, military, and intelligence entities to dismantle human trafficking enterprises and bring traffickers to justice. I encourage the Secretary to move quickly when we were in the car on the way over here, but we moved too quickly and we forgot Harold D'Souza was going to make some comments from the Advisory Council.
Just good looking,
So we'll have Mr. D'Souza come up now. Thank you.
Congratulations. Thanks for your work. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Happy morning, everyone. In a victim's life, slavery is a journey, but not a fate or destination. Today, on this auspicious day, it is a privilege for all our survivors in America to recognize in slavery, life is changed, not ended. As I stand before you all, representing our Advisory Council members, this is a pure reflection of the honorable delegates present here for the good human deeds bestowed in engaging, empowering, and appointing survivors to the historic United States Advisory Council on Human Trafficking. The Council organized itself into 5 committees in collaboration with the PITF agencies to submit its first report on October 18th. It addresses the following 5 topics. The first, rule of law, public awareness, victim services, labor law, and grant making. For each topic, the report provides an overview, 3 recommendations to improve federal anti-trafficking policies, and highlight areas for future collaboration. We request the PITF agencies work with us to implement our recommendations to stop modern slavery. The Council also recommends Congress to amend Section 115F of the JVTA to allow for compensation to the Council in order to thrive and not just survive. We agree, strength does not come from winning, power does not come from slavery, pride does not come from pain, and ego does not come from exploitation. When a victim or a survivor decides not to surrender, that is strength. when a victim decides not to fear, that is power. And when a victim decides not to be raped, that is pride. And when a victim decides not to be traumatized, that is ego. We believe victims' lives matter, survivors' voice count, victims live freely, and survivors are treated equally. The Council thanks the PITF agencies, NGOs, faith-based organizations, community members, businesses, and philanthropists, and encourages further with an empowerment to engage survivors to prevent human trafficking. Thank you very much, and God bless America. Thank you.
Of the combined AG and FBI efforts. So I'm delighted to recognize Attorney General Loretta Lynch. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and thank you everyone for coming together to work on certainly what I feel is one of the most important issues facing not just our country, but so many countries today, which is, of course, the scourge of human trafficking, one of the most invisible yet pernicious crimes that crosses. Susan, I thank you for your words and for representing you and all of us on the council, representing the victims so well, because in fact, it is for you that we do this work. And so without your words and your input, we would not have the information we need to be as effective as possible. I'm happy to be here with all of our partners in this. Partnership is the way in which we will combat and end this terrible crime. And the Department of Justice has continued our efforts to promote partnerships at all levels. International level, very vital. Also between our federal, state, and local law enforcement. And then within law enforcement, connecting law enforcement to victim services organizations and to survivors themselves. Because when we make these cases, we have to have input from those particular groups also, or we are simply putting a miniature cork in a very large bottle and letting a problem flow around it. The only way to attack this crime is through coordinated and collaborative efforts. At the international level, our U.S.-Mexico Human Trafficking Bilateral Enforcement Initiative continues to enhance the investigations and prosecutions of the networks that operate across the U.S.-Mexico border. Through robust collaboration between the Department of Justice, also our colleagues at the Department of Homeland Security, as well as our Mexican law enforcement counterparts. Just this past June, 5 defendants were arraigned in the Eastern District of New York in Brooklyn following their extradition from Mexico on charges of operating a sex trafficking enterprise. And these extraditions and the bilateral investigation that led to them are further evidence of the strength of our partnership with Mexico in this area. Now, domestically, we are also working on the partnership model. Phase 2 of our anti-trafficking coordination team, or the ACT team initiative, is well underway. The ACT team initiative is another partnership. It's an intensive on-the-ground partnership between the Department of Justice, again, Department of Homeland Security, vital partners of ours, as well as the Department of Labor. And we focus on the development of high-impact human trafficking investigations and prosecutions. So the cities that were selected to participate in phase 1 of this partnership just some 18 months ago showed a 119% increase in cases filed involving human trafficking, a 114% increase in the defendants charged. So acting together, we are expanding our enforcement efforts and, in fact, not only prosecuting more traffickers, but rescuing more survivors. At the end of last year, at the end of 2015, We designated six additional ACT teams, already collaborating closely. They're undergoing intensive training with national human trafficking subject matter experts, and that this will help them overcome some of the most intractable challenges that investigators and prosecutors face in identifying and initiating and advancing these investigations. And phase two is already beginning to bear fruit, and I couldn't be more proud of this partnership and the work that we have done. Overall, the Department of Justice has continued to bring significant numbers of human trafficking prosecutions because there has to be accountability for this crime. In fiscal year 2016, which just ended, we brought 241 human trafficking prosecutions. And that meant we charged 531 defendants, and we obtained convictions against 439 traffickers. But of course, beyond the numbers are always real people. So we continue to be especially proud of our survivor-centered, trauma-informed approach to prosecuting these cases, because our focus on victims is as important as our focus on bringing the traffickers to justice. And of course, that survivor-centered focus carries over into so much of what we do. Last month, for example, we announced $49 million in grant funding to combat human trafficking. And of this $49 million, the majority of these funds were awarded to service providers to provide a range of direct services to all to the survivors of all forms of human trafficking. Almost $16 million went to support the enhanced collaborative model anti-trafficking task forces across the country. So we're splitting it between increased enforcement at the local level, but also direct support to survivors. Now, the anti-trafficking task forces are yet another example of the collaborative model that we utilize to be most effective in this field. These task forces are comprised of federal, state, and local law enforcement. They're also comprised of labor officials and victim services providers. So it's a tripartite system. They're selected for funding based on joint applications that are submitted by the law enforcement groups and the victim service providers together. It's a joint application outlining how they will collaborate. So from the beginning, collaboration and cooperation is baked into this process. And earlier this year, the department's Office for Victims of Crime hosted a day-long forum with the survivors of human trafficking to enhance our collaboration with this brave group of individuals, as well as other survivor advocacy groups, and to better incorporate their perspectives into the federal anti-trafficking work that we're doing. And let me also join in congratulating the U.S. Advisory Council on the publication of the report earlier this month. Let me thank you for your efforts in sharing your experiences, but also converting those experiences into real effort, into real initiatives that will guide all of us in the future. We look forward to working with you on these important recommendations. And let me just add that the Department of Justice is tremendously proud of the part of an administration that has made the fight against human trafficking a focus and has also made such progress in this fight. I'm certainly proud of what we've accomplished, but I look forward to everything that we're going to accomplish together. And if our past history is any guide, we're well on our way to making inroads against this terrible crime. So thank you, Mr. Secretary, for the chance to discuss some of what the Department of Justice is doing. And of course, we have our strong partners in the FBI as well.
Thank you, Madam Attorney General. Thank you so much for your leadership and efforts on this. It makes a huge difference. And now I recognize FBI Director James Comey to discuss their initiatives.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. As the Attorney General said, we are passionate about doing this work. As we know from our prior discussions in this room, the FBI focuses on trafficking through our civil rights program. We bring a special focus on children trapped in the slave trade through our Violent Crimes Against Children program. As the AG said, we've done a lot of work over the last year, and I thought I would just give you a few numbers from the FBI's perspective. In fiscal year 2016, we worked 1,894 trafficking investigations. We made 2,600 arrests, and we rescued over 1,000 children, including, just last week, we finished our 10th Operation Cross Country, which focuses on children caught in the commercial sex trade, and we rescued 82 kids and locked up 239 traffickers during that effort. We've continued to do what the Attorney General has asked us to do, which is focus on victim-centered response to this scourge. We are making sure that throughout all of our offices, we are treating these people whether they're children or adults like the victims that they are, getting them the care and services that they need. We're also doing two things, I think, better than before. We're pushing out training to make sure that people what trafficking looks like so they can tell us about it so we can investigate and lock up the slavers. And the second thing we're trying to do better is tighten our international partnerships. Operation Cross Country this year was an international effort involving Canadian partners and many Southeast Asian nations, because we realized that slaving knows no borders, and if we're going to be good, we have to be good together with our partners. I think we all come to government work hoping to be involved in work with moral content. I can't imagine work that is deeper in moral content than this. I can promise you on behalf of the FBI that we will not let this lose momentum. We will continue to work this, certainly for the remainder of my 6 years and 10 months in this job. Thank you. Not that I'm counting.
Yeah, that kind of longevity. Thank you. Thank you, Director. Thanks for your efforts on this. I now want to call on Chair Jenny Yang from the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, to talk about anti-discrimination and other enforcement. Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you, Secretary Kerry, and thanks to members of the Advisory Council and to our Presidential Award recipients and really everyone in this room for your leadership on this critical issue. When workers are trafficked, they can also experience employment discrimination. The laws that we enforce at the EEOC, particularly those prohibiting discrimination based on race, national origin, sex, including sexual harassment, can often be an integral part in the fight against trafficking. Civil enforcement can be a vital tool to both vindicate rights and obtain remedies for victims. Last year, the EEOC resolved two lawsuits involving hundreds of victims of labor trafficking. In the EEOC's lawsuit against Global Horizons in Washington State, the court ordered the company to pay over $7 million to 67 Thai farm workers who had been subjected to harassment and discrimination in violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. The court recognized that the workers had been subjected to fear, intimidation, humiliation, shame, and an unrelenting sense of imprisonment. In a companion case in Hawaii against Global Horizons and five farms, a court earlier awarded over $12 million in total damages for 82 workers there. In another EEOC case, Signal International LLC, a shipbuilding and repair company, agreed to pay $5 million to resolve a race and national origin discrimination lawsuit on behalf of 476 men who were recruited from India through the federal H-2B guest worker program. These individuals lived in segregated labor camps in Texas and Mississippi in the aftermath of Hurricanes Katrina and Rita. The workers alleged that the company and its agents lured them with dishonest assurances of becoming lawful permanent residents in the United States. Instead, when they were arrived, they were forced to work and labor in discriminatory conditions. So in addition to our enforcement work, the EEOC has also been focused on outreach. Last year, we partnered with community-based organizations devoted to anti-trafficking work. We conducted more than 180 anti-trafficking outreach events, and we reached over 12,000 attendees. We also trained staff and representatives of our state and local government partners on how to identify and develop trafficking cases. Moving forward, combating trafficking will remain a priority for the EEOC. Last month, the Commission approved a new strategic plan that continues to prioritize issues affecting vulnerable workers, including victims of human trafficking. President Obama has called the fight against trafficking one of the great human rights causes of our time. This administration has made important progress in the fight against trafficking. Thank you to everyone on the PITF for your leadership. Much work remains to be done, and the EEOC looks forward to continuing to work with all of our federal partners. Thank you.
Jenny, thank you very much. Now my pleasure to recognize our Principal Deputy Director of National Intelligence, Stephanie O'Sullivan.
I'm very glad to be here today to recognize the progress that's been made on the President's call to strengthen federal efforts to respond to combat human trafficking. For the intelligence community, the first step recognizing the issue as increasing national security priority and raising its overall priority for the intelligence community's activities. The result has been a significant and continued increase in reporting on Indian trafficking, adding to our knowledge base of trafficking patterns and perpetrators. We have also increased outreach across the community to academia, international organizations, and law enforcement, and are targeting our analysis to support their broader efforts. Finally, the intelligence community is completing a national intelligence estimate on global human trafficking, which will be the first IC-wide assessment on this critical topic. The paper will look at the impact of the conflict and crises of human trafficking flows, as well as drivers that will increase the livelihood of trafficking. We look forward to continuing to support this critical work, not only as national security professionals, but also as a call on human resources.
Thank you, Stephanie, very much. Now, Deputy
Secretary of Treasury, Sarah Bloom Raskin.
Thank you, Secretary Kerry. The department.
Let me just comment that I'm very happy you guys are here for the first time.
Yes. Happy to be here. And the Department of Treasury is proud to support the work of the President's Interagency Task Force and the efforts to combat human trafficking more broadly. I'm pleased to be able to join today's meeting to share with you Treasury's ongoing efforts to help end modern-day slavery, and I look forward to further collaboration through this forum. So Treasury brings to this work significant financial expertise. And Treasury has harnessed this financial expertise to collect and analyze financial intelligence and data to identify human traffickers and their networks, to attack and undermine the financial underpinnings of these networks, and to support law enforcement investigations that lead to accountability and justice. In addition, Treasury, specifically our Office of Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, and the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, better known as FinCEN, have particular tools to support the mission of combating human trafficking. These tools include the use of our anti-money laundering authority, our countering the financing of terrorism authority, as well as our sanctions authority. For example, Treasury's FinCEN works closely with the FBI, the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Human Smuggling and Trafficking Center, among other federal partners, to collaborate more closely with analysts and field agents to seek opportunities to further coordinate on government analytical products that could provide a tactical and strategic advantage to law enforcement, and to leverage financial data that Treasury collects, including under the Bank Secrecy Act, to identify suspicious transactions involving human trafficking and target human trafficking networks. Treasury is also committed to working with the private sector, especially with financial institutions, by providing guidance on how to detect and report suspicious financial activity with a potential nexus to human trafficking. In 2014, Treasury issued a public advisory that identifies financial indicators, or red flags, that may indicate that financial activity is related to human trafficking or human smuggling. The advisory has been viewed over 1 million times since its publication and has led to an increase in reporting to FinCEN from financial institutions and has assisted U.S. law enforcement investigations. Further, Treasury's OFAC coordinates closely with the Department of Justice and federal law enforcement agencies to identify and then impose sanctions on specific human trafficking and smuggling networks, their leaders, their associates, and those who provide material support. Among those sanctioned is the Yakuza, Japan's powerful criminal syndicate that is notorious for violence and far-ranging criminal activities, including sex trafficking, sex tourism, human smuggling, and prostitution. Since July 2011, Treasury has designated 14 Yakuza members and their associates. Treasury has also designated the Central American gang, known as MS-13, for engaging in transnational criminal activities, including kidnapping, sex trafficking, and human smuggling. MS-13 is one of the most dangerous and rapidly expanding criminal gangs worldwide, and Treasury has designated 12 of its members, including two earlier this year, as part of our ongoing effort to target organizations and individuals that engage in this sort of activity. Treasury has also stepped up sanctions on drug trafficking organizations that likely facilitate, enable, or profit from human trafficking. The Department of Treasury is committed, through these and other means, to continuing our efforts to support the fight against human trafficking. We are able to bring strong tools and analysis to this effort. We will continue to use all of our authorities to disrupt criminals who attempt to use our financial system to engage in these activities, and we will continue to seek new ways to combat these networks, to deepen our cooperation with law enforcement, and to further collaborate with all those who are willing to partner in these efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. So that takes care of the sort of rule of law component of the reports today, and now we're going to discuss the victim services. Let me just say quickly that I'm proud that this March the State Department issued new mandatory standards for all of our employees under the Chief of Mission Authority that will set new guidelines for the hiring of personal domestic workers. And we also have additional contractual protections in order to ensure that those who are representing our country live up to local law as well as U.S. standards. So let me turn first to Senior Counselor Andrea Palm of HHS to give us an update on victim services.
Thank you, Secretary Kerry. I would echo the AG's thanks to the Advisory Council and to the Presidential Award recipients. That's really important and inspiring work, so thank you for your efforts. I'm happy to provide some progress since I was here with you all last year on items that we've been working on, and they're predominantly, I would say, in three areas. And to ensure that we are able to continue our work beyond this administration, we have embedded an Office on Trafficking and Persons within HHS to continue that focus. So first, we've been very focused on making sure we can increase and continue to serve growing numbers of victims of trafficking with services that they need. In FY16, with HHS dollars to our grantees, we served more than 2,300 victims and family members, which is a 40% increase over the previous year. We're also understanding that our money is not enough to serve all that need serving. We have worked to streamline our processes and enhance our network beyond just the community-based organizations that we fund to provide referrals and connect folks to services to the tune of about an additional 8,100 victims of trafficking. So we feel good about making sure that folks are getting services as soon as possible, whether it's with our dollars or with the broader network. And I'm sure you all know we also rely pretty heavily on the National Human Trafficking Resource Center hotline, which since the beginning of this administration has identified well over 30,000 cases of trafficking, and about 7,100 of those were just in the last year, which is a 33% increase over the previous year. We also have a focus on underserved communities and have been working to build our resources and outreach to folks in the LGBT community, American Indian and Alaska Native populations who we think are underserved. Second is in the area of data collection, innovation, and research. We've funded over $1 million worth of evaluations of trafficking programs so that we're sure we're promoting best practices. Later this fall, we will put out for public comment a set of uniform data collection standards so that we are sure we understand what we're seeing in the data moving forward. We'll do some work also this coming year, in training and technical assistance, and we're going to be adapting some of our training models specifically for HHS personnel, and we'll be doing some professional development and fellowships for trafficking victims themselves. We hope that that will build capacity in the system as well. The third bucket I'd like to touch on is in our partnerships, both new and expansions of previous partnerships. So this fall with DOJ, we're actually going to announce the 21 members of our National Advisory Committee. We look forward to doing that. Later this week, we're going to release our second interagency report. And then the final thing I would just mention with HUD, we did a series of listening sessions over the last year that I'm sure people are familiar with, and we will be putting out for public comment a joint guidance that will focus on specialized housing and service needs for victims of trafficking. So we'll look forward to everyone's engagement on that draft guidance.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrea. That's great. A lot of stuff.